talking about what is a Baptist. And we're going to start here in John chapter 20. All right, John chapter 20 and verse number 19. The Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. I believe these scriptures that we just read are the beginning of the church. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us when the church started, you know, but I believe this is it. I believe this is where the church started. You know, and so we're just going to get into this here and looking at what is a Baptist again, part three. So let's go ahead and pray and we'll get going. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, just grateful that we could be in your house here today. And Lord, we have the freedoms to come here, the freedoms to meet. Lord, we don't have to worry about being persecuted and put to death and everything that our forefathers faced and suffered and went through it just because they believed your word. Lord, we have those freedoms today because of what people stood for to allow us to have freedom here today. So, Lord, I pray you'll help us to remember that as we look in your word. And, Lord, speak to our hearts here today as we see some truths in your word. And we'll give you the glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, now there's a huge push today in Christianity to bring everyone together. Right, some will say, let's do away with all the denominational names, and let's just all be the same. Okay? You've heard that, right? Well, what they're really saying is, hey, you quit being who you are and become like us. Now, I am an independent, Bible-believing Baptist. I take God's word literally. Why? Because God meant what He said, and He said what He meant, right? He wrote what He wanted to write. But some people will say, oh, it really doesn't matter if you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Catholic or a Pentecostal, whatever it is, right? They say they're all the same. But here's the thing. They're not all the same. All right? They're not all the same. This is a serious matter. They're not all the same. Listen, heaven and hell are at stake here. You understand? Doctrines are different between those religions. This is serious. Being a Baptist is a doctrinal position more than just a denominational name. Okay? We are Baptists because of what we believe. We believe the Bible. Okay? Now the name Baptist on our sign identifies us. Okay? It separates us. You drive by and you see a Baptist church, right? At least in the past you could say, all right, I know their doctrine. Right, I know what they believe, but nowadays they take Baptists off of the signs and they say we're non-denominational, and you really have no idea what they believe. Well, here's the thing about non-denominational. Whatever the pastor believes, whatever his background is what they are. Right? Whether it's Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever it is, that's what they are, but they hide behind that non-denominational thing. But you see, when you take away Baptists, you know what happens? Anything. You're left with anything. Whatever goes, right? The flavor of the day. But being a Baptist, That's what we're looking at. Last week we looked at that, and we looked at some of the history of the Baptists, and we saw that Baptists are not Protestants. Remember that? Protestantism began in the Reformation, and we are not and never have been part of the Protestant Reformation. We were never protesters. Martin Luther, who was not a Bible believer, saw some of the heresies of the Catholic religion there, and he protested against it. He nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Roman Catholic Church there in Germany, and by all means, he started the Protestant Reformation. But this was intended to be an open debate, not an ecclesiastical separation. Here's the thing with Martin Luther. He didn't leave the Catholic Church. He was excommunicated. Okay? He was excommunicated from the church. And when he was excommunicated, he did not join up with the Bible-believing groups such as the Anabaptists at that time. Because why? Because he thought they were heretics. Okay? And now here we are today. Him and the Protestant churches of the day still hold to many of the damnable heresies of the past, such as infant baptism. Okay, but again, we never came from the Church of Rome. We were never in it. We have always existed from the days of Jesus Christ. Remember, if you turn over to Matthew chapter 16, we looked at that again last week. And in Matthew chapter 16, in verses 16 through 18, we looked at that a couple times. You can flip over there. Matthew chapter 16. Look there at verse number 16. It says there in Matthew 16:16, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." In verse 18, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You see, Jesus Christ started the church. It is His church. He died for the church. He shed His blood for the church. And God has always had a remnant of Bible believers in existence since the days of Jesus Christ. We saw last week they were called different names through the times. Some of them were called Donatists, some Paulicians, the Waldensians, the Anabaptists, just to name a few. But those were the people that held to the doctrines. Again, been saying it a lot, but the doctrines of the Bible, the doctrines of the Word of God. You see, doctrine is what separates all those other religions. Doctrines. Okay, we got to know the doctrines. Those that held to the doctrine of the Word of God were persecuted by the Roman church and the Roman government. Right? They were hated, despised, and eventually millions and millions and millions were put to death because they refused to join hands with the state religion and they refused to baptize their babies. All right, they made a stand because they knew it was against the doctrines of the Word of God, and many, many millions lost their lives brutally for it. And we also looked there at the Baptists, as they had many different names. They weren't called Baptists until about the beginning of the 16th century. Someone has said that those that are ignorant of history are bound to repeat its mistakes. People who do not know their past have no ability to appreciate their present. Right? So if we don't know our past, if we don't know where we've come from, if we do not know the persecutions that many have gone through before us, how can you really say you appreciate being a Baptist today? You see, Baptists in America have it so easy. Don't we, brother? So easy. Right? We come to church when we want. We stay home when we got a runny nose. We stay home when we got a sore throat. Oh, this Christianity in 2025 is just too rough. It's too hard. You know, I got to stay home in my heated blanket. Right? These early Christians were persecuted. You understand? They were martyred. Their kids were brutally murdered in front of them. We have no idea what it's like to be a Christian, a Baptist, and suffer such persecution. We got to know our past. We got to know what went on to really appreciate, okay? To appreciate being a Baptist, to appreciate having a Bible, to appreciate the freedom. You get it? It's a freedom to come to church. Go to North Korea. Go to China. Go to some places like that and try to go to church. Right? You won't meet in a church like this. You'll meet in an underground hiding place. A hiding place. Right? At any time, waiting for the government to bust in the door and arrest you and take you in and beat you and do whatever they can. Because why? Because you have a Bible, for one. And for two, because you're meeting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? But see, we don't understand that. We don't get it here in America. And you see, and so it's just all watered down. It's all watered down. We need to understand our past. You see, sadly, today, very few Baptists could tell you what distinguishes their doctrine or their faith from anyone else. So don't be like that guy. Don't be like that guy when he was questioned about his beliefs. He says, "What do you believe?" He says, "I believe what my church believes." Well, what does your church believe? What Baptists believe. Well, what do Baptists believe? Well, they believe that you get baptized. Well, why do you believe it? Crickets, right? But I'm an American by birth, I'm a Christian by faith, and a Baptist by conviction, right? And so I said all that to get us going. So I want to start out today by looking at the prophecy of a man by the name of John the Baptist. Okay, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, his birth was actually prophesied. So if you turn over to Isaiah chapter 40, look there in verses, start there in verse number 3, give you a couple of verses here in Isaiah chapter 40. Looking at a man by the name of John the Baptist, okay? And the prophecy of John the Baptist. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, the Bible says, and this was familiar, okay? It says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Look at verse 5. "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You see, well over 700 years before he's born, Isaiah is predicting the coming of John the Baptist right here. John the Baptist, we know, is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He prepared the way for the Messiah to come, and it was prophesied. It's also prophesied in Malachi chapter 3. Flip over there. The last book in the Old Testament. In Malachi chapter number 3, look there at verse number 1. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 1. It's that last chapter there. Last book. Malachi chapter 3. Look there at verse 1. It says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Again, another prophecy of John the Baptist, who is God's messenger, who is preparing the way for Jesus Christ. So, what's the significance? Who is this John the Baptist? Right? So now let's see who he is. So John the Baptist is a man. Okay? He's a man. He is flesh and blood, just like you and I. But we're going to see here that he had a special birth. He had a prophesied birth, but flip over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And we're just tracking the prophecy of John the Baptist here. Right? He had a special birth. In Luke chapter 1, look there at verse 13. Again, John the Baptist is a man, just like you and I. But he had a special birth here in Luke chapter 1, verse 13. The Bible says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Right? He had a special birth, a prophesied birth, and look at verse 15. It says, therefore he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Hey, he was a prophesied one. He had a special birth. It was a prophesied birth. And the Bible's saying here that, hey, he's not going to drink any wine, any strong drink, just like Jesus Christ. Never drink any wine. Never drink any strong drink, okay? But we also know that John the Baptist is a great soul winner. Look there in 16. It says, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And also in verse 17, he was a prophesied forerunner of Messiah, and you'll see it here. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, right here, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You see that Old Testament prophecy of John the Baptist coming right here played out to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John the Baptist, he was the prophesied one. He was the forerunner for the Messiah. And what I want you to see here is John's message. I want you to see John's message. John's message was a message of repentance. So flip back to Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist's message was a message of repentance. I'm going to talk to you about repentance here for a minute. All right, but in Matthew chapter 3, look, starting there in verse number 1, it says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse number 8, the Bible says there, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And then, we're not going to turn there, but in Mark chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Right? John's message was repentance. You got to repent of your sin. And the Bible says in Acts 20:21 that repentance is towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You got to repent. Okay, repentance is still a good Bible word. All right, we need to use it. You cannot be saved without repentance. This is John the Baptist's message. He is the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the only one that can save. The message is repentance. The message is, hey, you must repent of your sin. You must repent of your sin against God and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what he is preaching. That is what he is teaching. Now, repentance. Let's talk repentance for a minute. All right? Repentance is admitting that I have sinned against God. Okay? It is toward God because it is God that I have sinned against. It is him that I have offended. And repentance is admitting that I am not good. The Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, all my righteousness is as filthy rags. Okay? And we know the Bible says in Romans 3, chapter 3, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, right? But hey, repentance means to turn around, to change directions, okay? In Acts 26:20, the Bible says that they should repent and turn to God. That's key, right? So before I got saved, I'm 38 years old, living my life, doing what I want, living in sin and enjoying it. And then the Holy Spirit convicted my heart that I was a sinner, about to die and go to hell. And I didn't want to go to hell, so I had to repent. I had to confess of my sin. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Right? But I didn't stay here. I repented when I turned to God. Left my sinful life in the past. You see, repentance, and there has to be a change.
Repentance is to God, okay? It's to God because I've left my past, those sins in the past. I've turned. I've changed. It's something that happens in the heart and in the mind, and it means to surrender to God's will. It means to surrender to God's rule. It's not this. It's not turning over a new leaf. I couldn't tell you how many times I tried to turn over a new leaf. Right? I would say, all right, this new year, I'm going to quit drinking alcohol. Right? This year, I'm going to quit. Right? I'm going to turn over a new leaf this year. You know, and I'd go a day or two or a weekend or and then I'd be right back at it, right? Because repentance is not turning over a new leaf. Okay? It's not trying to do good because all my righteousness is as filthy rags. Repentance is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay? Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But now here's the problem with repentance, okay? Here's the problem with many people that pray the sinner's prayer. They have no intention to change. They have no intention to allow God to take control of their life. They're not interested in being a disciple of Jesus Christ. All they want is a ticket to heaven, right? Keep me out of hell, but they want to continue in life as they please. And that's not salvation, right? That's not salvation. Nowhere in the Bible does anybody get saved and continue on in their life, right? Remember, whenever Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, he's going into the road of Damascus, and he meets the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He meets the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets saved, and now he goes into Damascus as a Christian. Right? He was going there to persecute them, to arrest them, to bring them in, and to put them to death. But now he's going to Damascus. He's a Christian, and now he's become persecuted. You see, there was a change. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But listen, you must be ready to turn from your false gods, including yourself, including self-worship, including yourself of your self-wants and everything that you want for yourself. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 1:9 that you turn to God from idols, right? Turning to God, right? You're turning to God. You're leaving your idols, your false worship, everything else behind. That is repentance. That is the message that John the Baptist taught and preached. Why? Because he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said this about John in Matthew 11:11. He said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Right? So that's John the Baptist. So John was a Baptist. He's got a name, John the Baptist. So what makes us Baptists today? All right, I said all that to lead us into that. What makes us a Baptist today? So number two, then, we are Baptist because of what we believe. We are Baptist because of what we believe. If you could flip over to Acts chapter 2. Again, we've looked at these verses as well over the last few weeks. But in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse number 41... Right. We are Baptist because of our doctrine. We are Baptist because of what we believe in. And really, we're Baptist because we believe the Bible. We just believe the Bible, okay? Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 says, then they that gladly received His word, okay, they were saved, they were born again. It says, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, okay? Again, I know I said it a lot, but they're saved, they're baptized, they joined the church. Okay, that is New Testament doctrine from the Bible. That is how the churches is supposed to be ran today. You get saved, you get baptized by immersion, and then you join the church. Okay, and we're going to read on because what did they do after that? Verse 42 tells us, and they continued
Right? They didn't quit there. They continued steadfastly. And that's an interesting word, that steadfastly. Right? They continued nonchalantly? No. They continued weakly? No. They continued steadfastly, meaning they pursued. They didn't stop. They didn't sit down. They kept going and going and charging and pushing forward. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Okay, so everything that they've been taught, how Jesus died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day, all the doctrines that they've been taught about Jesus Christ, they continued on in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Okay, fellowship what? With the believers? With the other church members, with the others in Christ, the other saved members, they were fellowshipping together. Okay, we get that. They were fellowshipping together. Okay, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Right, so they came together. They prayed. They ate together. They prayed together. They were together. Why? Because they were a church. Verse 43 says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common." Hey, that's another thing. You know, we can stop in a lot of these. I can just preach the rest of the day. But "and they had all things common." Do we get that? Do we understand that? "And they had all things common." Their doctrine was common. Okay? They were unified. They were together. They weren't bickering. They weren't arguing. They weren't gossiping. They weren't talking about each other. Okay? They were together in unity. Why? Because when they broke off out of their group, they knew the persecution was coming. The only ones they could trust was their group, was their church, was the ones that were the same as them, the ones that were Christians, the ones that they were there with. Okay? They had all things common. 45, "and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need." And say, "Hey, you need something. All right, let me sell this and get the money and I'll help you out." Right? They had help. They helped each other. They were a church. They loved each other. They were in fellowship together. They were in one accord. Okay? They had all things common. And they had love. Right? You see that? They had love of one another so much that they sold their own goods to give to their brethren. 46 says, "And they continuing," what's that next word? I can't hear you. "Daily." "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple." You mean they went to the temple daily? They prayed daily. They went to the temple and met and assembled daily. Oh, that's just too much. I can't do that. That's too much. Daily? Every day? Sunday, Wednesday. That's too much. They did it every day. You see what I'm saying? You get my point. Right? They assembled every day. Right? "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They'd eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." And so what did they do? Verse 47 says they praised God. They praised God through all of it. "Praising God and having favor with all the people." And what did the Lord do? The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Right? So that's our example. Right? That is New Testament Bible doctrine from the Word of God. We want to be a New Testament Baptist church. Hey, that's right there. That's what we need to be doing. Are we in one accord? Are we in all agreements? Do we have all things common? Do we love the brethren? Do we love the sisters? Do we love one another? Are we willing to do anything for our fellow church members, our fellow brethren? Because when we do, and we're praising God, He will add to the church daily such as should be saved. So what is my point? My point is this is just doctrine. This is doctrine of the New Testament. And being a Baptist, it's more than just belonging to a church. Okay? It is the doctrines. Okay? A person is a Baptist because of the doctrine that they practice. The devil, you know, the devil wants to destroy the church. Okay? We talked a lot lately about watching and praying, right? Because the devil's going about seeking whom he can devour. Who is the weak link? Who is the weak link? Weak link. Okay? That's who the devil is going to attack. All right? All right. Is anybody here the weak link? Is anybody here out of fellowship with the Lord? Is anybody here not reading your Bible? Anybody here not praying? Anybody here know you have unconfessed sin in your heart? That's the ones the devil is going to attack. And if you let him attack you and you bring that to church, right, the devil has an end in the church. We got to watch and pray. We got to be watchful. Right? We got to be in one accord. We got to have all things common. Okay? The devil isn't fighting religion. He's too smart for that. So what's he doing? He's producing counterfeit Christianity, so much like the real one that good Christians are afraid to speak against it. You see, our forefathers endured great trials and severe persecutions because they were part of a group that was hated. They were part of a group that stood for the doctrines of Jesus Christ, the Baptists, okay? Millions were slaughtered over the centuries for taking a stand on the truths of the Word of God. What were some of those truths, you ask? Well, I'll give you a few of those truths. Number one, salvation by grace through faith. You see, salvation has always been by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Old Testament, New Testament. For by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, the Old Testament looked forward to the cross and Jesus dying on the cross. We in the New Testament look back to the cross and what Jesus did on that cross, how he suffered and bled and died on the cross and he was buried and he rose again the third day. But these are the basic doctrinal truths that our forefathers were put to death for, because they stood for this. They stood for the just shall live by faith. Right? The just shall live by faith. Right? Not only that, but they stood for once saved, always saved. Eternal salvation. Okay, I call it the security of the believer, but the Bible calls it eternal life. In John 3:15, he says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Okay, eternal life, everlasting life, not perish, never perish. It all means the same thing. You see, salvation is for all people. But the Calvinists deny it. The Calvinists are mistaken, right? Salvation is for all who believe. Christ died for all, whosoever will. Okay? Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Okay? Jesus died for all people. Someone said, if you can't find it in the Bible, it isn't Baptist doctrine. If it is Baptist doctrine, you can find it in the Bible. Okay? But Baptists didn't create the doctrine. We just believe what is written in the Word of God. Right? Salvation by grace, we believe it. New Testament baptism by immersion after salvation. New Testament church membership, we believe it. The inspiration of Scriptures, we believe it. All Scriptures given by inspiration of God, right? We believe that. We believe in the that Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again the third day. We believe that Jesus could come back right now, the rapture could happen right now. We believe that. And why do we believe that? Because the Bible says it. The Bible teaches it. The Bible, the doctrines of this book right here teach that, right? A person, but get this though, Baptists don't own salvation, okay? Anybody can be saved. A person can get saved and not join a Baptist church. A person can go to heaven without being a Baptist. A person can love the Lord and not be a Baptist. Baptists are Baptists because we just believe the Bible and we believe it literally. Literally, okay? I got time to quickly give you my third point here. Today, Baptists, we are Baptists because of what we have done. What we have done. In John 1:12, the Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name.
You see, we're Baptists because we've received Jesus Christ as our Savior. We've been born again, and we've heard the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, and we heard the message of repentance, and we've repented of our sin, and called on the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, there, like John 1:12 says. And we've been saved, and then after salvation comes baptism by immersion. All right? Baptism by immersion. If you look there, if you could flip over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Look there, Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. It says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like," get that, "like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection." You see, baptism is a symbol. Baptism does not save a person. You get saved first, and then you get baptized by immersion. And it's a symbol. It says, hey, I agree with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I associate with Jesus Christ. I've been born again. Look, I'm getting baptized. I believe in that death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's New Testament baptism here. We know Jesus was immersed by John the Baptist, and Baptists have always been immersed. Right? That's what baptized means. It means to immerse. Right? Immerse. Now, when I was in the Air Force, we had we had our dog tags, and if you're in the military, you had dog tags, and they ask you, you know, what do you want to put on them as far as, Baptist or whatever. So I had Baptist put on mine, and there were many others that put Methodist or Catholic or whatever, but there were many others that put Baptist on it, but they weren't Baptists, right, because many of them weren't saved. Right? They just put something on it just because they asked you to put something on it. But you see, there are no unsaved Baptists, neither are there any unbaptized Baptists. Right? Just like we read in Acts chapter 2, then they that gladly received the word, they were saved, then they were what? Baptized, and then they what? Joined the local church. All right, so I'm going to stop right here, and we'll pick it up right here again next week on where we're at. But I know a lot of stuff, right? A lot of stuff. But it's good stuff. All right, it's good stuff. So let's close right here.